Good morning. I'm Mark Purzell, and this is Cincinnati Edition. I love cinnamon rolls. That's both a personal statement from me and the title of a new cookbook by Judith Fertig. A conversation with Judith about the book and the popularity of cinnamon rolls on the way this morning on Cincinnati Edition. Plus, Aaron Rourke, president of Rivers Unlimited, sits down for a conversation with Thane Maynard about our local rivers. Some parents start saving for their children's college educations even before they're born. Others start when the kids are starting kindergarten. Others never start at all. Marianne Zalesnik talks to Plan the Way Foundation President Chris Candelaresi and partner Tom Candelaresi about trying to save for your child's college education.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to have you both here. I think a good place to start is, ideally, in the perfect world, when should you start saving for your college education for your kids?
Well, you should start, like you said, before they're even born, or as soon as they're born. With the way that college expenses are going, escalating prices and tuition, it's always important to save as much as you can and do so to understand how that's going to play out when you come time to apply for colleges.
What's practical? How much should you even think about saving?
Well, it depends on income. You know, it's hard to tell when your child's first born where they're going to go to college, if they're going to go to college. Are they going to get a scholarship? Are the parents going to have to pay the full price? So I would say that as much as you can save and still have access to the money in case of an emergency, I'd put it away.
What are some of the options of choices and places where you can start saving?
Well, there's a variety of ways that you can save for college. Obviously, savings accounts. You'll see a lot about 529 accounts. Custodial accounts are also a big key. You'll have a plethora of other options. One of the more less well-known options, actually, is what they call dividend-paying whole life insurance. It's a unique savings vehicle that actually is designed to accumulate cash and has a variety of other benefits to that. For some people it works, for some people it doesn't, but it's just a matter of understanding your situation and what opportunities that you have with that.
Yeah, each vehicle has its pros and cons. You just have to weigh the advantages of each for your situation.
Well, you talk about a savings account. That's a really basic place to save money. It's probably not going to earn a lot of interest, but you have access to it.
You have access to it.
Is that the best pro for that?
Well, you know, the ideal situation is you don't have to go to the money and use it. And every vehicle's risky. You know, right now savings accounts are paying no interest, basically. 529 accounts, they have their drawbacks if you need to get access to the money before the child's in college. You know, UTMAs, UGMAs, they have potential disadvantages also. You just have to really evaluate your situation and go for the best one you think will meet your needs.
Try to have something.
And the important thing, too, and this is what we specialize in, is understanding how these savings vehicles will ultimately affect your eligibility to receive financial aid. You know, savings in a 529 or an UTMA account will have a negative impact when it comes time to for your application on financial aid to receive that. So understanding, you know, how your savings vehicles can be used, not only if you need access to the money in emergencies, but ultimately when it does come time for college, to know that your money is safe, it's secure, and it's not going to count against you, so you're still able to receive financial aid offers.
If you're starting when your children are fairly young, say preschool and younger, and you're getting this money put away, how much is really practical? How much do you think you will need by the time they're of college age?
Well, you look at college costs today. I mean, just in Ohio, you're talking probably average around $25,000 or $30,000 per year. Thinking about the number of kids that you have times at least 4 years, which the statistics actually point towards bachelor's degrees closer to 6 years nowadays. Like you said before, just any amount that you can start put away. But, you know, the real determination is doing your homework beforehand, obviously planning early. They have a lot of different forecasters where you can calculate what they call your expected family contribution. Playing a scenario at particular schools of interest will help give you a better idea of the amount of money that you have to put away. Typically, I would say for the families that we come across with and that we work with, you're looking at anywhere between $15,000 to $20,000 out of pocket per year. So if you do the math, depending upon when you start saving, that's really going to determine how much you should be planning on putting away.
And that would be per child, basically.
I was going to say, if you have one child, you start out great, you get that account started, and then children two, three, and perhaps beyond come along. You do need to start an account for each child?
You do.
You don't want to have it all in one lump?
Depends on how, what vehicle you have it in. You could have it in all in one place, but if you're doing 529s, you probably have individual accounts for each child. So it really depends on how you choose to go.
What if you didn't start early? What if, let's not get to the worst case scenario yet. Let's say your child's in sixth grade and you haven't started yet. Is it too late?
No. And as a matter of fact, you know, when we first started doing college planning, we were working with just high school students. And a lot of times parents would even come to us when they were freshman or sophomore in high school and saying, well, we have time to plan. We took a step back and actually converted to the nonprofit and took our program down to the junior high level. And we feel like that's a pretty good time to start, essential time to start planning. But if you're talking about sixth grade, I don't think it's too late. Again, it's just a matter of understanding the situation you're in, what opportunities that you have to set money aside. But ultimately, if you can start, you know, when they're in first kindergarten, first grade, you know, earlier on, obviously that would be the best case scenario. But, you know, certainly it's not too late to start there. It's just, again, doing your homework about what colleges their students are interested in, what kind of financial aid opportunities they're going to present to you, and understanding what your family contribution is going to be to really determine, you know, what you need to save. But ultimately, the later you start, obviously, the more that you're going to have to put away to reach your goals.
It just makes it harder. Yeah.
Well, you mentioned that it's certainly difficult to say how much money you should put away each month. It depends on your family's income. It depends on where you think your child might want to go to college. But let's ballpark it. I mean, I think people want to just hear something that gives them some idea. Are we talking $100 a month from the time they're born? Are we talking $50 a month? Are we talking $1,000 a month?
Well, with a scenario that we play out a lot of times in some of our workshops is if you put away $100 a month for 10 years and you're earning about 5% interest, you're going to be able to cover 1 year if your family contribution is about $15,000. And on the flip side of that, if you wait too long, they have what they call these Parent Plus loans that a lot of families who procrastinate or not able to save end up have to take out, which is a 10-year repayment plan itself. So the scenario is if you can put away $100 a month for 10 years prior to college, you can save about $15,000 versus having to pay about $18,000, $19,000 after all the interest charges accrue by taking out those loans. So usually $100 a month, if you're giving yourself enough time, would be a good ballpark. But again, it's just going to depend on the family.
That just covers 1 year?
That just covers 1 year. So you just have to figure out.
$200 a month might get you 2 years, or is it going to be because of interest better than that?
It could.
That's a good figure to use.
What about financial aid? What other options are out there for folks who haven't saved a lot of money or perhaps just haven't been able to? The economy's sort of tanked and people perhaps that were putting money away for college just don't have it to put away right now.
Well, you look at different opportunities, like, for example, you know, state schools. If you go to the ohiohighered.org website, you'll find opportunities on programs that students are able to get into that might offer them not only work experience after college, but loan forgiveness programs. You'll look at different fellowship programs where students, if they can do service, they can have part of their tuition paid. Obviously, looking at the individual colleges, not only the colleges themselves, but the individual departments. A lot of times they have scholarships. Local organizations in the community, a lot of businesses offer scholarships as well. So there's a lot of different ways that you can go about looking for those different pieces of financial aid that are out there and available.
And it's not all on the parents either. The students have an interest in this whole process. So, you know, if the student's keeping up their grade point averages and doing good on their ACTs and SATs, that's always helps to get you a little bit more money potentially. Being involved in volunteer organizations, increasing their resume, so to speak, because colleges are looking for well-rounded students. Today, especially when colleges are at maximum capacity, it's not just all about grades anymore. It's about what type of person are you? Do you get involved? Are you a leader? Because when you go to a college, they want you to stay for 4 years or 5 years, however long it takes to get through, because they want you to become an alumni. And alumni donate money back to the college, and that money is used many times for scholarships for other students. So it's a two-way street. The parents have to plan and be smart. The students have to plan and do their part, too.
Thank you both for being here today.
You're welcome. Appreciate it. Thank you.
I've been talking with
The president of Plan the Way Foundation, Chris Candelaresi, and partner there as well, Tom Candelaresi. For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Marianne Zalesnik.